This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today's khutbah is dedicated to the fourth direction by which the shaitan tries to attack us according to his promise. He said, I will absolutely come at them. I will absolutely attack them from right in front of them, from behind them, from their right and from their left. And today we speak about what he's going to do when he attacks us from the left. The Arabic word for that is the word shama'il, which comes from the Arabic verb shamala. It's an interesting verb of the Arabic language because it actually means two things, basically. From that word, you get the meaning of inclusion, like shamil or mushtamil, the idea of including something, or the left side. Actually, the word shimal is not used for the left side, it's used for the left hand. And a lot of words in Arabic that come from this are related to things that get covered up, like a bag, or actually they used shamala for some hunters who used to get covered up in the dirt so the animal doesn't see them, so they're camouflaged. So the idea of covering something and the idea of including something in its entirety, immersing something, is that word. So what does that have to do with the left? Well, the basic idea that's been postulated by some is that, you know, in Arabic culture, like in many cultures, your basic hand is your right hand. So most of the tasks you do normally for most people or for many people is the right hand. And culturally, you know, you get work done with it, you write with it, you do whatever task with it, you carry things with it. But if you have so much to carry that your right hand is not enough, the left hand, the remainder, so that you can include everything, is carried over by the left hand. So that's kind of the connection between those two ideas of this original word. But it's important to note that it's not just in Arabic culture that the right is associated with something good and the left is associated with something not so good. It's actually part of many cultures and many languages. For example, even in the Latin language, the right hand is called dexter. And, you know, English is a derivative of Latin. So in English, dexterity, for example, is good skill. You know, proficiency in something is to have dexterity in something. And the left hand in Latin is sinister. Of course, the same word sinister in English is something evil or something bad. So it's not just something associated in the Arabic language, but in many cultures, the right and the left have to do with good versus evil, you know, something appreciated versus something not so good. Now, what I want to tie this to, what does it mean that shaitan comes to us from the left side? There are some obvious meanings, and I want to go through, you know, some of them with you. The first of them has to take me back to what I talked about in this series of khutbahs about shaitan coming from the right. So one previous review, or something I didn't actually mention, that'll tie to today's khutbah. And that is, when shaitan attacks us from the right, one of its meanings is that shaitan, أُفَتِّرُهُمْ عَنِ الْحَسَنَاتِ, he slows, that meaning he promises, I will slow them down or take their motivation away from doing good deeds. So it's not just that he wants you to do something bad, he'll actually take your motivation away or try to make you lazy or try to make you not so inclined towards doing good things. So, you know, the idea of getting lazy to get up to pray, for example, like you're up, it's Fajr time, you know you have to get up, and you tell yourself 5 minutes. 2 minutes. Okay. I know it's the alarm. I'm going to count to 30. And by the time you count to 10, he's already put you to sleep again. Right? So the idea of just delaying or taking your time with doing good things. Or, you know, in conversation, tell him, man, you know, I really should be reciting more Quran. I know I got to do it. You tell yourself, I got to do it, but you don't do it. And that's shaitan not necessarily making you do evil things, but slowing your ability to do good things down. Taking that motivation away from you, distracting you with other things. And of course, the human mind and our heart is not an empty vessel. It's going to be filled with something. So if you don't fill it with good deeds, now shaitan has the opportunity to fill it up with bad deeds. You see, so it's actually, that's why we have to keep on doing good things, is because if you leave that mind empty, that this vessel empty, and you leave that time empty, it's going to get filled up with something that, now that shaitan's taken the good out of it, he's going to fill it up with some bad for you. Right? So that's how he's going to influence. The other, you know, by contrast, what this also means is, when someone starts, slows down doing good deeds, the thing about ibadah in particular, worship, and there are many good deeds, you know, like helping people or charity and all of that. But let's particularly talk about what keeps our heart connected to Allah, is acts of worship. Recitation of Quran, prayer, dua, these are things that connect us to Allah and make us remember Allah very directly. These are spiritual necessities. Just like when, you know, every time I have to breathe in and breathe out, every few hours I need some water, my body needs it. Just like that, our soul needs, our heart needs the remembrance of Allah. So if shaitan slows down our active remembrance of Allah, takes that out of our life, little by little by little, the more he takes it away, just like when you know when you have a plant and you don't feed the plant, it gets dry and it starts dying away. The same way, when you don't have time to do remembrance of Allah, the heart starts getting harder. Your heart starts getting harder. And the heart starts getting weaker. It starts withering away. And what does that mean? That actually means that now your desire to ask Allah for forgiveness, your desire to make tawbah to Allah, your alarm, when something wrong happens, the heart gets alerted. I shouldn't be looking at this. I shouldn't be saying this. I shouldn't be doing this. There's an automatic alarm. If that alarm, the batteries are good and it's well fed, then it's going to go off. But when that alarm gets weaker, then it doesn't go off. So shaitan, by doing so from the left, now evil things are coming, evil things are happening, and you should be able to tell, this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing it. But because he's removed dhikr from your life, now those alarms are not going off. Now that you know, it doesn't even alert you that this is something bad. And when that starts happening, then despair happens. Well, I don't even feel bad anymore, I'm pretty hopeless. So the next thing is, because his name is Iblis, from Ablasa, which also means to be hopeless, right? In the Arabic sense, it also means to be hopeless. He makes you and me hopeless. Well, you know, when I pray, I don't really feel anything, because the heart is so hard, right? If you stay away from the remembrance of Allah for a long time, or if you're only making the prayer just to go through the quick motions and then get back to other things, your heart's not in it, then you start telling yourself, even when I do pray, I don't feel anything. So what's even the point? Why am I even praying? The thing is, if a plant or a tree has become weak, right, and you want it to be healthy again, then you put some water on it. But as soon as you put water, you don't see fruits popping out. You got to keep putting water little by little by little, and it rejuvenates. It's not going to happen immediately. So if you've been out of this connection with Allah, and you're trying to rebuild that, you have to be patient with yourself. But what does shaitan want? The shaitan wants ajila. And he puts human beings, you know, he wants them to rush into things. And if they don't see results right away, he wants them to give up. So as you're trying, you're struggling to get better and closer, and your heart, you're trying to reconnect your heart to Allah, even though that's a process, that's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in one prayer or two prayers. It's going to take some time and commitment. If you don't see immediate progress, he just wants you to give up. What's the point anyway? I feel nothing. So that's the first way that he comes at us from the left. Meaning stay on the left, don't even turn towards the right. Then the second that's been mentioned by many scholars is أُقَوِّي دَوَاعِيَهُمْ إِلَى السَّيِّئَاتِ. That he, you know, there are things that are known evil. There are things that are, you just know that they're evil. Human nature knows that certain things are wrong. And he will make you more and more inclined towards them. And scholars classically divided, you know, shubuhat and sayyi'at and shahawat a little bit differently. And I'll explain some of that to you. There are evil things that we do that we're tempted to because we feel like it will give us something. Right? It'll bring us some kind of benefit. Maybe it gives somebody pleasure. Maybe it gives somebody money. Maybe it gives somebody recognition. You'll feel good in some way if you do certain evil things. Right? So that's one kind of evil. Where, for example, food is a necessity from Allah. And that's why we are supposed to be able to eat food. That's the rizq Allah has given us. But shaitan will want us to say, hey, if you really want to feel good, that food that's haram, that's the one you got to try. Right? He wants you to cross that line. So he'll take what we actually need and we think we're going to feel good with it. Relationships are supposed to be through marriage. But he'll say, no, try something outside of it. Try something outside of it. It'll give you pleasure. Right? So that's one kind of sin that he beautifies and he keeps pushing onto you. And he keeps pulling at you. Meaning he wants to beautify evil deeds to the point where you're like, I can't even help myself. Yeah, I do it, but what do you want me to do? It makes me feel good. You know? But there's another kind of sin. And the other kind of sin is when you're doing something so hideous and so ugly and it doesn't even give you any pleasure. It doesn't even feel good. Like when you're backbiting. When you're talking about somebody, you gain nothing. You get nothing from it, but you still do it anyway. Or when you're hurting somebody with your words, you don't benefit in any way. When you insult someone, when you humiliate someone, when you degrade someone, you get nothing out of it. Or when you lose your temper, or you hit someone, or whatever else. Whenever you engage in any kind of wrong towards another human being, it may not even be that you get something out of it, but he pulls you towards the left, meaning he makes you do things that you don't even see. They even end up harming you in this life, not even in the next. You know? And he'll keep pulling you in that direction, making you addicted to those kinds of things. May Allah protect us. Now, the idea of shimal, really interesting in Arabic culture. I'll share some expressions, old Arab sayings with you. اجعلني في يمينك ولا تجعلني في شمالك. أي اجعلني في من المقدمين عندك ولا تجعلني من المؤخرين. The word the word right and left was also used for when someone is close to you, then you say this person's by my right. And when you want to keep someone far away from you, like I'd rather not deal with that guy, send him the voicemail. Block the phone number, that's the person on the left. So a guy says to him, to his friend who's not talking to him anymore, hey man, keep me on your right. Why you gotta put me on the left? That's the expression. Why are you putting me on the left? Meaning, why are you abandoning me? Why are you distancing yourself from me? The idea of shaitan coming from the left is also to convince you that you have now been distanced from Allah. That you are in fact distanced. So there's no point. Keep you farther away. And calling you from the left means anything that might bring you closer to Allah, he'll prevent you from. And anything that can take you further away, he'll keep calling you. وَيُرِيدُ شَيْطَانُ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. Shaitan wants that you incline, deviate far, far, far and far away. أَن تُضِلُّوا ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. That you become way out there in your misguidance. So that even if you think about turning back, you're so miles away from the right course, that you just feel like, ah, there's no way I'm going to make it all the way back there now. I'm too far gone. I'm too far out this way. So this idea of distancing is captured inside shama'ilihim. The other interesting meaning, وَهُوَ عِنْدَنَا بِالْيَمِينَ أي بِمَنْزِلَةٍ حَسَنَةً. They say in Arabic, this person is right by my right, which means I have a lot of respect for them. I hold them in high respect, high position. And then they say in Arabic, وَإِذَا خَبُثَتْ مَنْزِلَتُهُ أَنْتَ عِنْدِي بِالشِّمَالِ. That when somebody's respect is gone, then they say, you are on my left side now. What that means is I no longer have any respect for you. Shaitan wants to convince his victims that they have no respect. Allah doesn't regard them. Allah doesn't respect them. Nobody respects them. They shouldn't even respect themselves. They're filth. Well, if I'm filth anyway, might as well do whatever I want. Nobody cares about me anyway. I have no value anyway. So Shaitan wants you to feel devalued about yourself and have no value for yourself, and therefore, pull you in that direction. Now, I want to share with you some things, in addition to this idea of being pulled from the left and beautifying evil deeds. One of, you know, I told you in the beginning that shumuliyah also means inclusion or including everything. It also means, you know, one of the possible meanings is, you know, when we hold something from the right, the idea is you're doing things the right way. Like, for example, earning money. There's a right way to earn money. Right? And everybody knows there's wrong ways to earn money too. But if you want more than that, you want everything, and what you have in your right hand isn't enough, you want to get your left hand involved and grab more, isn't it? So it could also be an implication that here Allah is telling us that Shaitan will come at you with what you have in your hand is not enough. What you got from the right way is not enough. He wants you to get more and get everything, and he's going to use your greed. شَيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Shaitan promises you bankruptcy and commands you to do shameless things, lewd things, indecent things. So the idea of human greed is captured inside when Shaitan will pull us from the left. You know, this is why Allah says, وَمَنْ يُقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever has been protected from the greed that lives inside themselves, they're the ultimately successful. Greed is a really scary thing. Greed is a very powerful pull from Shaitan to the left. Look at all the trees. I talked about this so many times before. Look at all the trees available in heaven. And the Shaitan uses the greed of the human being to call him to that one tree he's not supposed to go near. That one tree, you know. All the trade is available, but the human being is pulled towards riba. You know, يَتَخَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسْ. You see in the Quran, when greed comes up, Shaitan comes up. You know. So this idea of pulling to the left is also associated with greed. Now, I've given you a little bit of an overview of these four directions and these, you know, and this one last one that I didn't emphasize as far as the left is concerned is that Shaitan, once he gets somebody involved in sin and wrongdoing and he immerses them in it, they become completely drowned in that sin. He wants to keep them there. And he wants to make them think that this is the only way they can ever be. I can't help myself, this is just what I do. This is just how I cope. And he wants to keep them far, far into it. And so you have to identify yourself. What is that evil that you've justified to yourself? What is that sin that's allowing you to just say to yourself, it's okay if I do that, that's okay. I do some other good things, it's fine. You know, and you justify that to yourself. Stay away from that as much as possible. What I wanted to include in this khutbah are a couple of other quick observations. My series on shaitan is not done. We have a couple of more ayat to go other than these directions. What comes at the end of these ayat? I wanted to really pay attention to how Allah deals with this conversation. Because remember, this is a conversation between the devil and Allah himself. He's telling Allah what he's going to do to us. That's what this conversation is, right? So part of that is the question that arises, that he does, he only attacks us from four directions, but not from above and not from below. Like there's four directions mentioned, but really in a sense, it's not three-dimensional, right? It's just, you know, front, behind, and right and left, but there's no mention of above and below. And there's a couple of observations that that can be made about that. One of the observations can be that the two things that, you know, what shaitan calls to is falsehood. Shaitan calls to falsehood. And the opposite of falsehood is truth. And there are two truths that will never change. The truth that comes from Allah is revelation. It comes from above. Right? That's truth from Allah. And that is certainty. It's yaqeen. And the other truth is death, which you look down, what is there? The ground that you and I will go into. Right? And those two things are absolute certainty. And if your focus is on what is above and what is below, you'll be fine. Then shaitan can attack from whatever sides you want, but you're protected from above and below. He can't come from those two sides. Another way of looking at it is that the slave of Allah turns upwards in dua and turns downwards in sajda. Those two acts of humility. In dua, we recognize we're not powerful. In dua, we recognize we're the ones in need. In dua, we recognize that we are dependent on Allah. And in sajda, we recognize that we are not going to be like shaitan who refused to do sajda, and we go down in sajda. So those two directions, dua towards the above and sajda towards the below, are the one shaitan cannot touch. And sajda isn't just to put your head on the ground. Sajda is to humble yourself and humble myself to the commandment of Allah. Remember that the idea of him refusing to do sajda was not just to put the head on the ground. The idea was Allah told me to do something, I don't want to do it. That's refusal to do sajda. And if we can really internalize these two things, then those other four directions of attack we're going to remain secure from. I wanted to read something very beautiful. I found a commentary from Shaqiq, rahimahullah. He made this observation about this ayah, and I wanted to read that off to you. مَا مِن صَبَاحٍ إِلَّا وَيَأْتِينِ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْجِهَاتِ الْأَرْبَعِ Every morning the devil comes to me from all four directions, he says. Every morning the devil attacks me from all four directions. مِن بَيْنِ يَدَيَّ وَمِن خَلْفِي وَعَنْ يَمِينِي وَعَنْ شِمَالِي He comes to me from the front, he comes to me from behind, he comes to me from the right, he comes to me from the left. أَمَّا مِن بَيْنِ يَدَيَّ فَيَقُولْ لَا تَخَفْ He comes to me from the front and says, don't be afraid. Whatever it is, do it. Just, you know, because impulse. Just whatever comes in front of you, enjoy it. Just do it. Why are you thinking about the future? فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Because Allah is forgiving. He comes to you from the front and says, Allah is forgiving. Just enjoy yourself. فَأَقْرَأْ وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا And I respond to him by reciting a portion of the Qur'an from Surah Taha, where Allah says, I am absolutely someone who forgives over and over again. But I forgive the one who makes tawbah, who repents, who truly believes and acts in a good way, acts righteously. Meaning don't act however you want and say Allah forgives. Allah says, I forgive for the one who acts correctly. Not the one who acts however they want, and then they say Allah forgives. So he responds, because shaitan quoted the Qur'an to him, right? Shaitan said, Allah says, I'm forgiving. And he says, no, you're using Allah's words, but you have a bad intent. So he understands what Allah actually means and cites the correct one. So then he says, وَأَمَّا مِنْ خَلْفِي Then he comes to me from behind. فَيُخَوِّفُنِي مِنْ وُقُوعِ أَوْلَادِي فِي الْفَقْرِ And it scares me that my children are going to become bankrupt when I die. Now, how I don't have enough money for my kids. What are they going to do? How are they going to go to school? Where are they going to live? All this other stuff. فَأَقْرَأْ وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا And I recite, there is not an animal on the earth, not a creature on the earth, except Allah has taken responsibility to provide for it. So if Allah hasn't forgotten the ant and the bird and the worm and the fish, how is He going to forget my children? You know? And so I respond to him with the word of Allah. وَأَمَّا مِنْ قِبَلْ يَمِينِي And he says, as far as my right is concerned, فَيَأْتِينِي مِنْ قِبَلِ الثَّنَى He comes to me and tries to praise me. You did a good job today. Hey, that was some nice prayer you performed. Quran recitation too. You did this too. Oh, you did charity? Look at how much you help people. Look at how wonderful you are, etc. He just wants you to have a lofty opinion about your good deeds. We talked about that when he attacks from the right. فَأَقْرَأْ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ So I recite, the end outcome is only going to favor those who are able to protect themselves. Meaning protect themselves from having a lofty opinion of themselves. May Allah protect us from that. وَأَمَّا مِنْ قِبَلْ شِمَالِ فَيَأْتِينِي مِنْ قِبَلِ الشَّهَوَاتِ And when he comes to me from the left, he tries to attack me by luring me into temptations. He luring me into temptations. فَأَقْرَأْ وَحِيلَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَشْتَهُونَ And I recite that between them and whatever they desire, there's going to be a barrier placed. A barrier is going to be placed. So he calls on the word of Allah to protect him from temptation. This is actually at the end of the day what I wanted to share with you. You know, the only protection that we have from the devil is Allah. And Allah has actually, our connection to Allah is a rope, and that rope is called the Quran. Allah says, وَلَن تَجِدَ مِن دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا That this book, other than that, you will find no other refuge. You'll find no other security, no other protection. So I want you to understand something in your fight against shaitan. Whether it's from the front, from the right, from the back, from the left, it doesn't matter which direction he's attacking from. He will be successful when you're not holding on to the rope that comes from above. When you're not holding on to that. When you're not reciting or connecting with Allah's words, thinking about what Allah is saying to you and me, and how it applies to my life and your life. This message did not come to be sitting in a shelf somewhere. This revelation did not come so that we just recite it and that's it. Or we hear beautiful word, beautiful sounds and that's it. This revelation came to protect us. Allah actually gave us these words. As you know, Adam alayhi salam was duped by the shaitan. And when he was being sent to the earth, because now he was already up in Jannah, and this happened, and now he's being sent to the earth. When he's being sent to the earth, what did Allah tell him? Well, how will you make sure that this will never happen again when you go to the earth? فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ What if and when to you, your children, whenever guidance comes to you, whoever follows my guidance, there will be nothing to fear. They're not going to be the ones that are sad. That's the promise of Allah to Adam alayhi salam and his children. So guidance has come. Quran has come. Quran, we have to see it not as a sacred book. We don't see it just as a book, you know, for blessings. You and I have to recognize this book came to protect us from our ultimate enemy. There will be no other source of protection like the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us all secure and protected with His word. May Allah Azza wa Jal make the parents here examples to their children and what it means to be bonded with Allah's book. May Allah open our hearts to study and learn and to internalize the meaning and message of the Quran deep into our hearts and to bring it into our lives. May Allah Azza wa Jal overlook our shortcomings and allow us to continuously fight the temptations of a shaitan. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim.